Welcome back to another episode of Chats with Clark. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point today is the great Justin Harold. Justin, how are you? Thanks for being here.
I'm doing great, Joe. It's great to be on here. I love that little intro that you got going for yourself, and can't wait to shoot the shit with you, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. I'm really excited. I know that you are always working hard. You're a project-based kind of guy. And I've known you. We went to grade school together, so I've known you for a long time, and that is a complete honor. So, Justin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, goodness. Where to start? Well, I'm 22 years old. I'm at Ohio State right now. That's a lifelong dream that I had of attending Ohio State as my university. Going to graduate this semester, barring anything, you know, crazy happening. So, congrats, I'm a journalism major with a game studies minor. You know, man, yeah, you talked about it. We went to grade school together, did a lot of things together, even thought we were going to go to high school together. We took some classes back when we were in eighth grade that were St. Edward base in Lakewood. Went there for 4 years, played football, was a part of two state championships, played in one of those state championships, was a captain on the football team, was scouted and recruited to go to play Division I football at a point for Dayton, and then decommitted from there to go to Youngstown State. Decided in the summer of my freshman year that I didn't want to do it anymore for reasons. And man, I've been all over the world. Frankly, I've, you know, been on four different continents, I believe. I've been, you know, on Africa. My mom's from South Africa, so we've been there two times, when I was two, and then back when I was in sixth grade. Went back to Cape Town and had just the most amazing time. I've been to Europe, you know, Great Britain, London. I spent time in the Republic of Georgia in Russia, so that was a heck of a time before coming back to the States when I was about 5 to 6 years old. And you know, I did all my traveling in my first 6 years, so I don't remember too much of all that stuff, but definitely, you know, I've been places and I want to go. One of my big things is I want to go and travel the world again at some point for the right reasons and at the right time. But man, what else?
Yeah. I mean, I imagine seeing the world at such a young age has to form you subliminally or consciously so much, because you've seen incredibly vast experiences, and that's something that not a lot of people can say, especially at such a young age.
Yeah, it's really incredible when you think about it. The Republic of Georgia is probably like the one place I remember vividly. I went to school there, preschool or kindergarten, whatever it may have been, but you know, that's a third world country. And you know, to get perspective on that, like, you know, a lot of people, obviously there's a lot of politics that go into the world of the United States and, you know, what's going on here currently, what's been going on in the past. And, you know, not so many great things here are, you know, what would be considered priceless in a third world country like that. And, you know, it just gives you a lot of perspective. Obviously, to take that away at such a young age, I think was something I can't really want to and don't think it's necessary to kind of block away and not think about from time to time. So I obviously really, you know, appreciate the life I've been able to live, and, you know, being able to travel and see those things is a big part of it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Do you think, because you're an empathic guy, but you're also a very hardworking guy, and do you think that maybe having those experiences again and seeing the world, and frankly, you have great parents too, who have definitely played their part too. Do you think all of that comes into why you work so diligently and why you're willing to, I mean, you've tried a million and one things, like you just mentioned in your brief synopsis of yourself.
Yeah. You know, my parents are so fundamental in my idea of what hardworking is. Obviously my dad took all those jobs overseas in order to, you know, just kind of show me the, I guess, building blocks of what hard work really is, and just being able to, you know, that's where it started and that's where I got my my idea of it. And obviously, you know, we traveled the world with him. He wouldn't have never met my mom if he didn't take those kind of jobs as a construction worker and an electrician. And so, you know, met my mom that way. When we came back to the States, he went for a period of time to work in Detroit. And, you know, my mom raised us by herself for a little bit, me and my brother, Danny. And, you know, she obviously had to do her own, you know, amount of hard work for raising two kids and without, you know, without the man of the house being there and everything, obviously him doing the work needed to be done. But, you know, he's retired now. He's, you know, taking a back seat. He's 63 years old. So it had to happen sooner or later. I'm glad that it happened sooner, but he still finds ways to stay busy. Mom's, you know, now she's taking the reins in terms of hard work, and she started her own small business, a pet care business called Fairy Tale Shack. And man, has she been so just like impressive with everything she's done for that company, for her company. She's, you know, built it from just walking dogs every day to, you know, getting her license in pet therapy, pet psychology and pet nutrition. She's now moving on to, you know, she bought a second company to merge into her own. And now she's moving on to a, you know, she's bought a location where she's going to try to, you know, institute her business and try to get a better, you know, I don't know what the real word for it would be, but just like her version of the best ideal fairy tale shack. So my parents are, you know, super fundamental in my definition of what hardworking is.
Dude, yeah, those are great stories to begin with. And how awesome that you got to witness it and be a part of it and reap the benefits and feel the struggles, I'm sure, at times when your parents were beyond stress, you know, when your dad was physically belabored and absolutely tired, I'm sure. And of course, now your mom too, going through very similar, but yet different experiences there.
Yeah.
That's really great, Justin. I love when people, okay, I love two things. Like, first of all, we all love hard work. Like, hardworking people are admirable, but also you guys have always had a close bond too. I mean, that's sick. Like, to have all of that going on, but to have an important family bond is, again, like
I gotta tell you, Joe, you bring that up at such like a, you know, unique time. So you know I'm a huge Browns fan. Obviously I have a podcast that we'll probably talk about later that covers that, but me and my dad, we, since I want to say back when Baker Mayfield was drafted in 2018, we watched so many football games together. It's almost impossible for me. And it was almost impossible for me to go back and name a game that we haven't watched since the drafting of Baker Mayfield together. And so the week before, I was terribly sick, and I had gone home the weekend before. My dad got sick, and, you know, leading into this game against the Bengals, you know, we were both like, hey, we probably should both just, you know, stay where we are, watch the game from home. He's back in Strongsville. I'm here in Columbus. And man, what a fun game that was. It was just so phenomenal. Yeah. It was the first real fun game for the Browns this year. And we get to the halftime, and before halftime ever hits, in my mind, I'm going, this is the most fun game that we, that, you know, is happening this year. And me and my dad aren't together. And it's just like a crazy thought that I had that I didn't like voice out into the world outside of my head. And I get a text from my dad, and he's just like, you know, I'm so upset that this is the first, we should be at the bar in Columbus that we go to, that we frequent when I'm here in Columbus, that we watch football games at. And he's like, we should be together. And it's like, Dad, I can't remember the last time we haven't watched a football game together. And the only time that it happened was back in 2019, the first Odell season. We're playing the Miami Dolphins. I take my mom to that game because the Dolphins are a horrible team. So I'm expecting a blowout. It was a blowout. Third quarter, it's like 40 to like 10 or something. And, you know, that's the only game me and my dad didn't go to for, you know, really good reasons. But yeah, I just have such a, you know, a super strong bond with my parents in unique ways. You know, I'm an animal lover. I love dogs. My mom's an animal lover, obviously. We have a very special bond through that and through, you know, just a lot of different things. But, you know, it's nice to have the differences between the two of them, where me and my dad are kind of sport oriented, and that's our kind of aspect. He used to be like my coach and everything. And then, you know, my mom's just a super loving, you know, always going to treat me like her little baby and everything. But we have that love for animals, and just the connections there are unique and special. So it's awesome.
They are. Yeah, dude, you're going to cherish that forever too. Yeah. I mean, I hope it goes on forever. I hope you guys are still talking about how you go to every game together, watch every game together, or at the bar for every game together. I mean, that's what it's about. And as long as there are animals on this earth, Lord knows your mom and you are going to be loving them. So
yeah, absolutely.
That is great. Oh, bro, I'm happy for you. And you. Just to tangent a little bit too here, you had mentioned that you are studying journalism and also focusing on games, basically game studies. So how do you hope to A, connect the two, and B, what drives you to do both of those things?
So video game studies is the, you know, it's really hard to define because it's not a definite minor at other schools, but really for me, journalism is an avenue into what I want to get into, which is video game journalism. And so, man, I don't even know where to start because video game journalism, like you and I chatted a little bit before this started, is it's a growing industry, and it's one that's starting to get a lot more respect and a lot more nuance too. And so for me, oh man, video games, it's weird because, you know, there are movie critics, there are food critics. You had Cal Reynolds on here, who, you know, a good friend of mine, a former, you know, St. Edward brother. And so, you know, he's a food critic. He's a foodie. He does his own cooking and everything. And so there's a lot of different things that are respected and took time to kind of get that respect. And so for me, video game journalism is, I believe, inching closer to that kind of reality, that it's going to be taken more seriously as a medium than what it has been in the past. So it's something that it's going to take a lot of hard work and effort to get into and to really carve my own role into, but I look forward to doing that. And I look forward to the challenges that it's going to bring for me.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely a field that's growing too. Surprisingly, like somehow it's growing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of just off the top of my head, like VR and the fact that our phones are rather immersive. I mean, you can get lost in a game on your phone for hours, and those are rather recent as opposed to, you know, PlayStation 1 and the 2 and the 3 and the 4 that are all pretty, for lack of a better way of putting it, follow the same kind of, you know, same way of being. With the journalism piece of it, do you think that there's, well, I'm sure that there is, but so what are some of like the tactics that you are learning that can be implemented from the journalism side into what you're doing? Or how does it differ from, say, like you said, food or movie critics? Like, how does it differ?
I would say coverage. There's a lot of different ways to cover video games. Obviously, you know, reviews is probably like the biggest thing that people think of when they hear video games. Okay. When they're, you know, there's the pop culture in it, in terms of like, hey, Call of Duty is just like a game franchise that, you know, anyone and everyone has heard about. And it's, you know, one game that people go to have like mindless fun to. So it's not really a game that you would consider reading a review about, because no matter what the reviews say about it, the majority, the masses are going to probably just go out and buy Call of Duty and play it for the sake of, you know, just having mindless fun. The coverage in video games though is getting so diverse though, because there's a lot of nuance to it. It takes a lot of the you know, it takes a lot of different mediums and puts it all together into one. You know, music, art styles, graphic designs, you know, stories, you know, there's a lot of things like movies, and, you know, you get stories in video games, like you get stories in movies and such. And sometimes they're way more fleshed out than, you know, movies are. And obviously there's a lot to take into those kind of, you know, ideas, and, you know, the time that goes into those things are just incredibly detailed and incredibly noteworthy that I feel should be and are being talked about a lot more. We haven't even talked about how esports has been a huge and upcoming thing that I had to cover esports for a semester here. And when I tell you, I was introduced into a whole new world of just, you know, video games. These games that I covered, Overwatch for Ohio State, was like a game I had played and a game that, you know, I wasn't like competitive in it or anything. I just played it to have fun and such. Mm-hmm. But man, when you talk to people who play esports and who do esports as, you know, a real sport, and I think that's one of the biggest like parts of it, is like it's starting to get that traction as like an actual sport. People are, colleges are starting to invest way more into their esports. We have a whole arena for esports now, and it's crazy. And
that is,
you know, teams are, you know, all over the world, and the games just continue to be made for it. Halo is one of those games that I love. Halo, and if I could be, you know, if I could be competitive in that way again, I definitely want to be like an esports Halo player. But I definitely don't have the skills for that. But yeah, video game journalism, video game journalism, it's just, it's unique. It has a lot of different ways of being covered. And I'm trying not to rant too much. There's the formal way of doing reviews, and you know, the big companies like IGN, Game Informer, GameSpot, Screen Rant, they all cover it in a very formal way. Then you have kind of your more informal companies like Kinda Funny, Rooster Teeth, and YouTube channels where people do kind of the same thing as in game reviews and gameplay journals and such like that. And then even, you know, now with TikTok, you have people who go on there and they voice their opinions on video games in whatever manner they may do, because it's TikTok. But still, there's just a lot of different ways to go about covering video games. And I think that's what's kind of been drawn out in terms of comparing it to food critics and, you know, movie critics.
Yeah, that's cool. As the saying goes, right, there's many ways to skin a cat. So I suppose, why would video game coverage be any different? I mean, think about like, even like you're, like you just said, you're a big sports guy, even people like, I don't know, people like announce different games, they all say different things, and the way that they say it is different. Yeah. And the movements that they, you know, everything about it is so different. Like,
yeah.
I think of Kevin Harlan compared to like, I don't know, Craig Sager. I mean, these guys are all so different. So different.
Yeah. The people who do sports, you know, commentary, you know, Jim Donovan for the Browns has always been one of my favorite commentators. But, you know, when you're talking about video games and making plays, like, it, for Joe, probably for someone like you who probably doesn't follow too much esports, I don't even follow esports too much. But, you know, when I did, and the times that I do occasionally, you know, getting animated for video game plays, it's a different feeling compared to a Nick Chubb like 70-yard run, but yeah, it still has that same emotion. It still has that same kick to it that kind of gets your adrenaline going a little bit. And it's unique. It's really, it really truly is unique, and something that I think will start to be a little bit more prevalent in our media.
Yeah. You know, bro, I'm gonna have to go check that out, 'cause like, that's what I need to experience that too, kind of grasp it a little better, I think, because that's a great distinction that you're making, and I am not informed with it at all. Another thing too, Justin, I was kind of thinking about, so in the beginning there had to be a point, because obviously you played video games far longer than you knew that you wanted to go into video game writing interviews and the journalism side of it. So when did that hit you? Like, when was it where you're like, you know what, like, you, I, this is what I picture in my head. Like, one day you're playing video games and you're like, man, I would love to do this in some way for the rest of my life, or for a career, or at least for an extended period of time. Like, how did that thought process go? What influenced you, and where did it stem from?
Man, it's crazy when I think back on it. 'Cause you know, we sent texts back and forth about like what we might cover. And I was really trying to figure it out, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, I came to college and there were a couple of different majors that I wanted to do, and I eventually ended up on journalism, and I was thinking, oh, sports journalism. But to be honest with you, I actually really thought back to it, and my junior year of high school, St. Ed's has a kind of like a newsletter, a newspaper run by Mark Urban, who used to be one of my AP English teachers. And so one day I go in there and I attend a meeting, and I asked Mr. Urban, hey, could I do like a video game article or something? And he's like, yeah, sure. And so Halo 4 is coming out. I'm like, can I do Halo 4? Can I, like, I don't know, write something about Halo 4? I didn't call it a review or anything. I was just like, oh, Halo 4, I'll play it, whatever, and I guess give my opinions. Yeah. I can't truly remember back to what I may have written in that moment, but I know halfway through writing whatever it is that, whatever that was, I was just like, I don't know if this makes any sense. I don't know that, one, anyone's going to want to read this, and two, that this makes any sense in the way that I'm going about it. Because obviously, I'm not getting a class taught to me about how you go about writing articles and
such. For sure.
And so, you know, obviously that happened. I don't end up doing anything else for the newspaper or anything for St. Ed's. However, you know, I go off to college. I believe my first major that, you know, it didn't last even half a semester was like psychology. And so I go into undecided for exploratory is what they call it here at Ohio State. But I go into the exploratory system for a bit and I get into journalism. And so journalism, I'm thinking, all right, I'll cover sports. Sports is just really easy and everything. However, I don't want to say it was when COVID happened, but I want to say it was the second time, or it was my, you know, second year here on campus that I really started to get into streaming and trying to make YouTube videos. And it was all video game based, and something clicked in me. Like I had always followed a lot of different gaming industry stuff and a lot of casual game players and YouTubers and such. But for me, you know, I had always had such a deep connection to a lot of different video games. Like I could name off like a bunch of the video games now that I used to play that I just like, there's something that clicks in you. And, you know, it's not for everyone, obviously. Everyone has their own niche and what they like, but there was just, you know, video game after video game that started to like click with me. And the more it happened, the more I wanted to dive into what was clicking with me and what was like really getting me to be so excited to just like come home after a day at school and just like get into a video game. And so like The Witcher 3, the Mass Effect series, like these games are things that I can go back before I ever really got into journalism, into video game journalism, and be like, man, I love this, this, and this about it.
Yeah.
And you know, you start to pull from that and you start to like really find your groove and you're like, it's kind of how college is supposed to work in my experience. It's like, hey, like you shouldn't go into college and be like, I want to do this thing. It should be, all right, I'm going to experience different things before I make a decision. And that's kind of what happened to me. I kind of started to experience more of my love for video games and man, I really think I found the thing that I love and that I'm about to get a career out of.
Dude, it surely sounds like it based upon the way you talk about it and you know enough about it. Like, you know everything that you're sharing and you have all of these details and you're familiar with the company. Like, clearly you've done your due diligence and enjoy it. So it's really an exciting time.
It is. And, you know, you say that I might sound like I know a lot more than maybe the general public, like the people who I say, like, you know, the kids who play Fortnite or the kids who play Call of Duty and everything for mindless fun. But, you know, there's still a lot more that I have to learn, that I have to educate myself on. I have to be willing to go outside of my comfort zone and not even my comfort zone, but my enjoyability zone. I think that's the big thing with video games is, you know, that's what Call of Duty is and what Fortnite is. It's like enjoyable for people who just want to have mindless fun. But for me, you know, there are big titled games that, you know, come out every year and I'm like, oh, I'm going to play that game for sure. But there are the indie games made by smaller teams and by smaller developers. And you're like, oh, this game's probably not going to be that good because, you know, it's not as renowned as a Naughty Dog or as an Insomniac. And for me, that was my big problem in the past. I just played the big titled games. I played the God of Wars, the Mass Effects, the Witcher games, you know, the Cyberpunks, you know. There were just a lot of times I was just like, I'm not going to play these smaller games because why would I? And now, you know, years into streaming and doing video game coverage stuff, related stuff, I feel like I've diversified myself into, you know, learning a lot more about what goes into the building of these smaller games and the enjoyability that you get from them.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you gotta know it all. So I'm sure that it's kind of like you just keep working your way and you're getting more deep into it. I mean, it makes total sense to me.
It's getting a deeper appreciation for it, I think, is the big thing. And, you know, being able to appreciate the work that you know, I think about it in, and that's why like movies and critics in general, I think are a lot more, you know, not where I want to end up, because it's not really like them taking into consideration the amount of time and effort put into those kind of projects and everything. I mean, a lot of people spend, you know, every day working on these things. And even if it's not to your particular liking, or there's aspects of it that aren't up to the snuff of a, you know, AAA studio that gets millions upon millions of dollars and hundreds of people to work on a game compared to smaller companies, you know,
yeah,
it's just people put a lot of effort and love and care and emotion into these things. And I don't want to like, I never want to, you know, outright crap on anything and put the work of any amount of people into the gutter just because I didn't like a particular game.
Yeah. I've never actually thought about it as an art form until you've mentioned it like that. Like, and I see what you're saying. It's so apparent, but I don't know why I never looked at it that way. And I more like if, when I play video games, it's like you're saying, for mindless fun. It's very rare. And that's kind of what I do. But truly, yeah, you're spot on, bro. Like it is an art form. It's all of the music is important. The theme and stuff. Like I think about the theme for, I mean, the Fortnite theme is a great one. Like that deep sound, or like the Call of Duty one, the Call of Duty zombie noises and stuff.
Yeah.
And like the music from Kino Der Toten, like you can hear it. Like all I have to say is that, and it takes you back to being 12 years old and, you know, playing zombies for literally friggin' hours, I'm sure.
Yeah. Stuff like absolutely. That. It's crazy because I'll tell you what, I probably spent more money than I should have on collectible things for video games. And I'm big into vinyls now. I love having my vinyls, and man, have I spent a bunch of money on video game vinyls. But it, you know, it's not even that there's like, you know, vocals to a lot of these things. It's just the, you know, instruments, and it's so and the moments that you can pull from just listening from a particular track or anything, it's just it really is an art form, and it's really something that I think has garnered a lot of respect and will continue to do so.
Absolutely. I agree with you. It's multifaceted and there's a lot going on and more people are playing. It's common. Yeah. And hey, speaking of like a growing field, I mean, streaming, that's another thing to me. I mean, it's kind of wild. Like that field is growing and growing and growing. And I mean, Twitch is one of the biggest platforms out there right now in any capacity. And I don't think people recognize that to begin with, but also that like you were saying, where a Nick Chubb 70-yard touchdown has an adrenaline kick to it, just like, you know, an event in an e-sport game. This streaming is like being in the audience, and that's kind of cool. And like we've all seen those TikToks, I think, where people are saying, you know, it's like I got like 100 of my friends behind me kind of thing, and I'm playing the game. Like I feel like everyone's seen that TikTok because that was a trend at one point. But to describe it for someone who may be listening and is not, essentially it's a video that the gamer puts out, and it's saying like, oh, you got like 100 people in the chat or 100 people streaming with you, like watching your stream. And then they're like acting as if it's, you know, the 100 people physically behind them in the crowd, because that's what these people in the stream represent. It is a person behind whatever screen is watching them. So that's cool. But regardless, long story short, how did you decide that you wanted to stream, and how's it going? I know you've taken a hiatus from it recently. So what, give me a little bit of the intel on your streaming life.
Streaming is really fun, man. Like I think people, it's tough because people get into streaming for, I think, a lot of reasons. And the reason why I got into it was just because I play video games already. And I like to think that I've grown into a more opinionated person in, you know, my college years than I was back in high school and such. And so, you know, I played video games, and I would think things out loud sometimes and be like, man, like where someone like, I don't know, maybe say something or like converse with me while I'm doing that, or just like kind of give me like, you know, what they're feeling, what they're thinking, what their response to what I said was. And so I move into my apartment the first year of, you know, college, and I'm by myself, and I'm thinking, you know, I play video games already. I might as well play it and, you know, give Twitch a shot because for streaming a shot, because why not? At that point, it was really just like a why not kind of thing. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of money to invest if you're going to take it seriously, because you want to have a nice setup. You want people to kind of appreciate the effort that you put into it. And that's something that I, as time went along, I started to get way more serious. I went, bought a rig and bought the equipment, my mic, my camera and everything, my monitors. And, you know, it's something that I've taken a lot more seriously in the time that, I have been doing it. I would say that I'm a streamer of 2 years, 2 to 3 years, obviously with my breaks in between. And so, but yeah, it's just really a thing where for me, it's not that I want to get anything out of it in terms of like, you know, the fame or the,
The clout and the monetary.
The attention. Yeah. I'm not really huge into that. You know, now it has its other uses for me, like, you know, building a portfolio of, you know, my stream clips and being able to put that out there for, you know, potential job listings and showing people that, hey, I have a presence on camera. It's kind of what YouTube is for also, but, you know, being able to talk, I had someone come into my chat one time. I was playing Skyrim and, you know, I'm pretty good about just always talking because you never know when someone's going to come into your stream for whatever reason. You know, if you're lucky, you know, you might get three actual people in your chat at once when you're first starting out. But if you get those people and you're not talking and they're coming in, you know, to watch the game, mainly they'll come to watch the game for whatever reason. They love the game. They see a particular person playing it or whatever. But if you're one of those people that they want to hear you talk and you're not doing that, you know, unless they prompt you to talk, they're just going to more likely to not just click out of your stream and go to someone else's. So, someone came into my stream one day and they're like, hey, like you do a really good job of just continuously talking and just like never like stopping really and reading your chat and, you know, kind of giving people something to digest when they come into your stream. So and that was like a huge compliment for me. And I was like, very happy. Sorry about the ambulance going by. It's a regular occurrence, but, I mean, it's really like a self kind of gratification thing for me at this point where I just get a real kick out of, you know, continuing to have that presence and have people occasionally come in and chat with and kind of, you know, just chill with.
Yeah, it's powerful. It is fun. It's kind of like you're having some snacks. It does have that feel. It has like, that's one thing I think the streaming industry nailed on the head, like right away, because it is a growing thing, but I think it's always had that feel. Like people that have streamed for years know that it's kind of like you're hanging out in your basement, you're having some snacks. I mean, you're literally just chilling out, playing a game, and it's like you're kicking it. And I remember like popping into your streams a couple different times. And one time was Fortnite. One time was a game I don't even remember. And then another time was the Spider-Man game, because I remember you're really into the the Spider-Man game. And just being able to appreciate it and just being like, hey, like, what's up? Like, I got a couple of minutes. Like, I figured I would pop in and see how you were doing. And same thing. You were talking. You engaged me. You engaged other people that were also in there at the time. There was one of your buddies when you were playing Fortnite. I remember you guys were playing together. And like you could hear the camaraderie between the two of you, and also you feel like I feel as the third party that I'm not really the third party. Like I'm right in there with you kind of thing. Yeah. And it's like I'm handing you the gold pump or whatever. I don't know.
You know what I
mean? That's cool.
Streaming it's very unique because obviously it's hard to find your basis. It really is for someone like me. Like I said, 2 to 3 years, I don't really have a following or anything. I haven't streamed in a while. I have less than 100 subscribers on Twitch and everything, but truly it's because there's like an algorithm to how those kind of things work. Obviously, if you don't post on social media, and this is something that I need to get into once I get back into streaming in general, is just, you know, be more active on social media about the things that you know, I'm doing in terms of streaming and all that. But And that's something that I think in the past held me back. It's I was kind of closed off in terms of social media. I didn't want people to like really see this super nerdy side of me. And You know, I have my quirks that in terms of like, you know, the things that I show off to people, you know, I try to put off, you know, not being fake, but also just kind of not being that person that you don't want to connect with because, oh, he's a nerdy person. He likes this or that. Like I'm super into anime now. And so, when I first got into anime, it was like one of those things that, you know, no one was into it. It was right. not this, it was not this thing that it is now where a lot of people in Western culture are really picking it up and embracing it, you know, doing cosplays and stuff.
Dude, it's like not a juggernaut now.
Yeah. It's ever since COVID happened, it boomed. It really just hit off. People like, you know, binge watched all their favorite shows. They binge watched Game of Thrones and the Walking Dead's maybe, I guess. I used to love the Walking Dead. But little did people know that there are hundreds of animes that have a lot of high quality and people like the reason why it's so like put off in or how it used to be put off is like, oh, it's like it's a children's thing because it's animated and everything. Well, I'll have you guys know that the greatest Spider-Man movie to ever come out is an animated Spider-Man movie called Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So you guys can, you know, deal with that how you wish. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, a lot of things come out of animation and it's another like, it's another possible avenue that I want to like work into. Maybe it's just pop culture in general, but you know, animation in general is just crazy in terms of like how stretched out certain animes could be, or even like I was talking about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, like the story of that Spider-Man movie is phenomenal. The soundtrack, that was the first vinyl I ever bought. I bought a vinyl player just for that reason. I saw that movie, Joe. I kid you not. I saw that movie probably 8 to 10 times in theaters.
Oh my God, that's
not
sick.
I'm not lying. I'm legit not lying. Totally. I went and saw it like my best friend from high school. Went and saw it like 3 times by myself in Columbus. Took my mom to go see it. Took my dad to go see it, and like maybe a couple other times I saw it again with friends and stuff. But I kid you not. Every time someone like mentions like one of the Spider-Man movies in comparison to another, I'm just like, it doesn't stack to Spider-Verse. And
yeah, like it doesn't even matter. Like they're all competing for a second.
And the reason why I say that is because for me, a lot of the things that happen in the animation of the Spider-Verse movie, it's just like, it's impossible to recreate that on the big screen in these, you know, physical IRL things. So it's just unique. And I think, you know, in terms of anime and that kind of stuff, it's a growing interest in the world.
It is. And you know what's like funny about anime, I have friends that have been watching anime for years, so I'm though not informed, I'm slightly informed, and because of that, like I don't think people realize there are anime shows that have been around for 20 years that have hundreds of episodes. So you like you mentioned, when you get a thing like COVID, everyone's at home, and like you work from home and you have your lunch break, you friggin' fire up a show. And next thing you know, you rip through them. Well, you know what you're not ripping through really quickly is 100 episodes of 20 seasons of an anime show. And there's bounties of anime shows.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things too. And I hate to like bring this up as like the reason why I didn't want to like, you know, show my nerdy side when I was in high school and stuff. But when I was in grade school, or before I was ever in grade school, when I was in the Republic of Georgia, Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball were the first animes I ever watched. And obviously you can like count Pokemon into that too. But Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z were this like super different. Like when I watched, I was like, man, I don't know what this is, but it's really freaking cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of and like you know, I come, yeah, and I come back from the Republic of Georgia. We're in the United States now, and I don't know how old I was, but you know, I brought a couple of friends over that I you know hung out with and everything, and I started playing like an episode of Dragon Ball in front of them, and they're like, "What is this? This is like this is so lame, whatever, blah blah blah," and like it was like, in that moment, it was like something that I can remember. It was like super embarrassing. Like my face got super red and everything. And it was just like, man, like until these past couple of years, it was just like always something that I was like, I'm never going to like let people know that I'm into this kind of thing, because it's like almost at a time like shunned upon, and like a thing that like if you told people, they thought you were either weird, a nerd, or like you I don't know, like something was up because you didn't like the normal stuff like The Walking Dead or it's a Game of Thrones or whatever. But
yeah,
now like people are starting to understand like, oh okay, this is like actually something that I like a lot more than I thought I would have.
I mean, it all has stories up. I think you're right. I think it was always deemed kind of childish, like you're
just
saying,
because just because animated. Of like the animation of it.
Yeah, because the content a lot of times in anime is like far more crude, or
yeah,
I mean like the jokes and the things that come along with an anime episode are it's top notch. It is very quality stuff. You're right.
It's funny because like you'll get your serious animes and you'll get your like, you know, I guess like your fun animes, your slice of life animes, the different like types of them, like the naming for them, the isekais, where like a person dies in the real world and they're transported into another. You get the, you know, the big one, Joe, I'm pretty sure that you probably heard of, like Attack on Titan. That is like the one that I think popped off and really got like the masses into anime. And I could be wrong, but
sure,
that's that show in itself, if you watch the first episode, if you're like a normal person, I guess a normal person, I don't know, I wouldn't say a normal person, but you watch that first episode, it's a bunch of, it's, you know, like normal people, and then it's a bunch of tall giants, hence titans, that are naked, straight up, they're naked. Obviously they don't like have like genitalia or anything, but mm-hmm. they're naked and they're eating people and it's blood everywhere and whatever, and you're like, what, like,
what is happening?
What just happened? Like, what have I gotten myself into? But you're like, I want to watch more, like I want to figure out what's going on, and it kind of just like, it sucks you, it really does like suck you in into the like tricking you. Sometimes they'll trick you and they'll get you to watch the first three episodes and you're like, this is really good, and then you'll get through four seasons and you're like, I don't know that was, you know, worth it. I could have spent my time on another one or whatever, but they really do kind of like suck you in. And it's something that I think is just like, and now at this point, I don't care. Like I've grown into a person that like my persona is just like, I'm okay with whatever. Like you can know this about me and it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter what you think.
Yeah, no, congrats, bro. I'm happy you're there because it's like, it's a part of you and who cares, and it's good. And it's not like it's bad. You know what I mean? Like if it's a bad thing, sometimes we give bad things to ourselves because that's something you want to work on in private. Like, no, like you watching anime has nothing to do with anything good or bad. Like you just like it. So that's awesome.
That's the thing though, Joe, is like, and I know this is probably going to take like a turn into like a super serious note, but like I used to be that person who like, I used to have like an exterior shell to myself in high school where like, I barely let people into like who I really was because, you know, I was playing to an extent, like a role in the, you know, moment. And so, you know, I played high school football. I was a 2-year varsity starter. And, you know, some days when I go home from school, I do my thing. I play my video games. I really get into my video games, whatever, watch my anime. But people would never know that about me unless like, you know, they basically wouldn't know that about me. I don't think a lot of people knew that about me in high school. Cause I would come in and the next day I'd talk about, you know, the Cavs, LeBron James, Kevin Durant back in the day when it was LeBron James versus Kevin Durant. And I had a huge affinity for loving Kevin Durant and everything and just all that. I kind of put out this persona of like, hey, I'm a sports jock kind of guy. And I really started to develop that kind of like, not really like an ego, but just like a persona that wasn't like who I was. And it wasn't that I'm not this person, but this is like 50% of who I am. And you know, not showing off everything about myself was just like a means to keep myself like safe and protected and not really like get scrutinized for anything. And it's just something that you kind of like you have to develop with time, and you have to develop with, you know, your personality. You know, my senior year of high school isn't one of the greatest that I like to remember. Honestly, it was, you know, I played football. Everything during the season of football was great. And almost like immediately after the turn of events of like losing to St. Ignatius, your high school and everything, it like, it felt like my world kind of started to crumble. You know, I had a falling out with a bunch of people that I thought were my friends at the time. And I was in a dark place, and I was like, I don't know, like what's going on, like how I'm going to graduate high school. And then I meet, and I, it's not that I met them. It's like, they were in the background. My friend group that I have now, they were like in the background of the things that I did. And, you know, as I came onto them a lot more, I started to come into the person that I am. I like to think that they're the reason that I became the person that I am today, and along with other things, obviously, but, you know, being able to be more myself and to show my interest, because they had their own interests that they were into. And, you know, they weren't all necessarily the cool or hip thing, but, you know, they had them and they expressed themselves. And I got into that more. I did mock trial, which was a thing that not a lot of football players, not a lot of athletes did at St. Ed's. And that was my first kind of like, I guess, stepping stone, because, you know, I got pushed from my coaches even, and from on both sides, from my mock trial team and from my football team, like, hey, like, you need to be a little bit more dedicated to this or that. And I was like, whoa, like, this is like something I didn't think I was going to get blowback for. And but like, you know, putting yourself out there and being okay with like the opportunity of getting like embarrassed or, you know, not really like, you know, being all of yourself because you don't want to receive blowback in any way. Obviously you can have your secrets, but I wouldn't say things that make you happy should be the things that you like keep secret or you keep, you know, repressed from others. Because at the end of the day, like if they don't like it, it doesn't matter. It's not like it's going to change your enjoyment out of those things. It shouldn't change your enjoyment out of those things.
No, not at all. And it's not, their opinion is no bearing on whether or not you're going to do it again. It's just like, well, okay, well, I guess it's funny because it just harms the relationship more than it harms, like you said, it's not going to harm whether or not you like the thing.
Yeah,
absolutely. Literally just harms the relationship. It's like, okay. Or it could be a fun disagreement. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. And that's the best thing. Like, it's funny because like, I used to never be like, in high school, I was not like huge into movies or like having like debates about like movies or video games or this or that. And like the friend group that I have now is like, it's so funny to get into arguments with them about like movie stuff, particularly Marvel. I don't know what your thoughts are on Marvel movies and stuff, but
I love them. I mean,
yeah,
some are really good and others I'm kind of like, what'd you guys do with this? But I guess that's everything.
Right. And you know, everyone's entitled to their opinions, and you know, I like to think that I probably have the lesser side of the opinion of the new Spider-Man movies than the mass majority of people. I'm not a huge fan of the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies for reasons. And it's funny with this new upcoming No Way Home movie, because, you know, I love Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man content. Like you said, I played all the Spider-Man games, the Insomniac games that have come out. And when the Miles Morales Spider-Man game got announced, I like legit like had a visceral reaction where I was like, oh my God, like, let's go. Like, I just get pumped for Spider-Man in general. But, you know, with this new No Way Home movie, all the rumors of returning characters and the past Spider-Man possibly coming back, I'm a huge, and this is like where I get all my flack from my friends, I'm a huge Andrew Garfield Spider-Man fan. And it's not because of his movies. His movies stink. Like, the story in his movies stink. But him as Spider-Man, who was Gwen Stacy? Emma Stone. Their versions of Peter and Gwen are really good. Like, they're really good. I don't think his Peter Parker is very good because he was, like, a skateboarder kind of guy. But, like, his Spider-Man is bar none the best out of all of them, in my opinion. And the relationship between, you know, Gwen and Peter in that, in those movies, which is phenomenal. But I don't like a lot of the versions of, I'm okay with the first, you know, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. But I really don't like any of the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. The Tobey Maguire just have that like nostalgia about them for me. I think like we grew up on it. I think the first one was 04. You could fact check me on that, but
yeah,
I think the first one was 04. Like we were young kids when that came out. I remember watching it with my dad. Like we went in the basement, turned off the lights, and you know what I mean? He had already watched it to make sure I wasn't going to be able to sleep or whatever. It's like, yeah. Like, so he's kind of like the OG Spider-Man for me, but I totally love the, I'm with you. I love the debate on like, oh, who's the best Spider-Man or like, who's the best Avenger or anything of that effect. Like Marvel has, that's one thing I think Marvel does exceptionally well is that they created like this Marvel community, which they literally call it, where you feel a connection to one, if not many of the characters that they throw at you, and there's a ton of them, so that's another benefit that they have. And they know they have the cookie cutter Marvel movie way about it, and they're gonna shove it down your throat, and 90% are gonna love it, and then for the 10% that don't, it's like, well, we already have 90, so
yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I got my Marvel movies that I love and everything, and it's not like I knock a lot of the Marvel movies, but you know, they're like the ones that I consider like top tier like movies in general, not just like Marvel movies, but I have a huge affinity for the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Those are like my all-time favorite movies, and it's like it kind of plays into that like video game love that I have too, because you know they take the music aspect and the visuals in those movies to like a different extent compared to every other Marvel movie. Like obviously it's a lot more of like a jokingly thing in those movies when the music starts to play, but like it's so good, and it's like I have those vinyls too.
Say that first movie, bro, I think that soundtrack was number one for a really long time.
So good.
I'm pretty sure. Like it would have to be another fact check scenario, but I'm pretty sure that vinyl, that album did exceptionally well after the movie came out.
Yeah.
Is that the box office hit too?
Yeah. And then you got like the obvious like hits, like the first Avengers movie, I think is still the best Avengers movie. Black Panther is phenomenal. Can't remember what else like is up there for me, but
those Iron Man movies.
I'm not a huge fan of the Iron Man movies.
Really, those are good. I think that first Iron Man movie is pretty freaking good.
The first one's very good. I think the second one is like a lot of setup, and then the third one is just like, it's pretty disappointing. Like it's just like, and when you think about it, in the whole like, when people like really get riled up like in the continuity aspect of everything, and you know, with especially being in COVID and with Disney Plus this year, you know, the first TV series they do, WandaVision, every week you go on to TikTok and someone's got a theory about something that's happening that didn't happen, and it, you know, like it's gonna happen this episode. Nah, it didn't happen. It's going to happen sometime this season. Nah, it didn't happen at all. Like people are like losing their things, and that's where it kind of like gets murky when you don't just take them as like individual movies, and you're like, oh, they in some way, you know, conformed to the universe that they're in. Whereas like, you know, you think about like the Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield movies. They didn't conform to anything. The X-Men movies, they didn't conform to anything. They were just being themselves, and that's all they had to worry about. Now with the whole Spider-Man No Way Home, you're like, oh my goodness, how is this going to open up the multiverse? And how, like,
exactly, what's going to happen
if they bring in these Spider-Man? Are they going to keep them, or like, what's going to happen? So,
yeah, and Miles has to have parents, and it's like, why? Like all this crazy stuff. Yeah, you're right. Dude, and you mentioned it earlier, and not to totally change the subject, but I wanted to touch on it before we kind of call things wraps for episode one here. You do have a podcast, and you do it with one of your buddies, and you talk Cleveland sports, a lot of Browns talk. I know you've been talking Cavs recently. I saw, but a lot of Browns talk for you. Talk to me about that a little bit. Talk to me about, hey, let's fire up a podcast about freaking Cleveland sports and how that comes to be for Justin Harold. And who is it? Is it Jeff Santa? Is it Jeff?
Right. Jeff Santa. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, the Cleveland Pulse YouTube channel, which used to be the Cleveland Pulse podcast, was my idea during COVID. At the very start of COVID, you know, they send us home for spring break, whatever it was in 2019 or 2020. And 2020, sorry. And, you know, at that point, there's a lot of people just shut into their homes. And there's me, I just got into my journalism major that year. And so a lot of things get closed off for me in terms of what I was doing at school. And so I'm like, hey, I need something. I need to stay on the, you know, creative side of journalism. And so creating the podcast was my way of, you know, staying active and staying in the realm of my major and kind of being able to just voice out the many opinions that I have. And so sports obviously being one of the big ones. I figured basically making it Cleveland based with Jeff was the best idea, because you have to kind of, with starting something up, you have to have your niche. And so originally it was something that I had thought was going to develop into something bigger than just Cleveland sports. And occasionally it does get outside of Cleveland sports, but like you said, Cleveland Browns, the Cavs, the Indians, now Guardians, that's our main content. And yeah, the reason I chose Jeff was because, you know, he's part of that friend group that I have, but he's a part of it and he's kind of my antagonist almost. We don't often agree on a lot of things, or like we tend to have differing opinions on a lot of things. And that's mainly what I wanted, because, you know, you listen to the radio and you listen to talk shows, there's a good guy, there's a bad guy. I like to think that I'm the good guy of Cleveland sports because I like to give a lot of people chances.
Yeah, you're the lover for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I put out a lot of love, and then Jeff, you know, rightfully so, has a lot of a statistical mind and doesn't like to just kind of conform to the general opinion. I don't know that I conform to the general opinion, but I think I conform to the, hey, like, let's keep it upbeat, let's be happy and everything. I always had high expectations for the Browns, even when they go 0-16 and 1-15 and everything. I was like, yeah, we'll get them next year.
Kind of thing. Classic.
Yeah, but it's developed into the Cleveland Pulse YouTube channel now, thanks to Jeff. And it's just been something that has grown out of my mind. I mean, it's, you know, we're not huge or anything, but it has been so much fun, and it has been such an eye opener to the world of media coverage and just what I can kind of expect to be doing in the future.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. It's a great way to get your feet wet, and like you said, you're having fun with it. I like that it's bringing you out of your shell a little bit too. I mean, this is streaming practices, you talk into a camera, and I think, you know, I think something that I think is interesting is having to hear your voice back too. That's that's a weird one that I think it takes a lot of time to getting used to, because
it's a rare. I don't know how it is. I don't know how it is for you. For me, I hate it still to this day. It's something that, like, I don't watch a lot of my videos back in terms of the polls right now. I don't really watch those videos back because I don't like hearing my own voice. I love hearing everyone else's voice, but I don't like hearing my voice. I don't know what it is in our brains that makes for that weird, like, is this really what I kind of sound like? Because I don't know that I like the sound of my own voice that much. And it's crazy to think, like, people who do like the sound of their voice typically don't, like, I don't think they record themselves because they would realize that it's not as great sounding as they think.
Right. Well, when this one goes up, you better watch this one back. That's all.
Yeah.
Or listen to it. And you can let me know what you think about your own voice that time. So everybody, again, that is the Cleveland Pulse YouTube channel. You got to check it out. I'll have it in the description below. They do a great job. It's fun. They kind of bicker sometimes. That is always a pleasure. I like when you guys get into it. Passionate dudes. And I think that that is a great driving factor. If I had a word to describe you, Justin, I think that passion is one of them that really quickly and easily comes to mind. You know, I have a closing question for you. Well, I have two. The first one I should have asked you earlier. The second one is my closing question, very typically. So the first one I wanted to ask you, if you were to recommend an anime show to someone who may be listening that is, let's say, not informed at all on anime and is like, you know, I think I want to start getting into it. Boom, hit them with the starter. This doesn't have to be the best one. You know what I'm saying? This is the starter.
Right.
It's a key distinction here.
That is such a key distinction because I've had to do that in the past. I have had to recommend this anime. There's two now. There's two animes that I recommend for starters. The first one is the one that I kind of like really got into and really thought about during COVID, which is Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. It's hard to describe, but it's really like, it's really close to that kind of like, it's not anything crazy. It's not anything like out of this world. Mm-hmm. And the first couple episodes really ease you into what's going to be happening. And then it kicks up and it progresses and the story really gets going and the characters are awesome. I watch all my stuff in dub. So I think the dub's a lot funnier occasionally than the sub. My second anime is Demon Slayer. This one is like what's currently really big for a lot of people. It just had a movie release.
I've heard this about
it's Slayer. Huge. Yeah. It's also very like not super crazy. It's very like obviously demons and stuff, but it's like feudal Japan samurai kind of stuff. And so, you know, I think a lot of people can get down with that aspect, and it kind of again eases you into that world a little bit. And it really does. The animation for that is what everyone, it's not like, neither one of those is like, well, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood might be like the best in terms of like an overall anime, but Demon Slayer has its kicks, but the animation for that is just top tier. It's probably
cool,
if not the best, like very close to it.
So you fall in love with like the art of it, which is huge. Because if you fall in love with the art, then it's like, all right, boom, I'm in, I'm locked in. All right, it's over.
Yeah, and this is just a caveat to anime in general. Something that I think is going to get way bigger now is anime movies. Like I said, Demon Slayer had a movie. There's a Jujutsu Kaisen movie coming out in Japan in December. My Hero Academia is huge. But the thing with anime movies, their budgets are huge. So they go absolutely insane on the animation. And those are just like, a lot of them are just to have fun at and stuff. And so I think if people get into it, they would really love those kind of experiences.
Boom. Same thing. I'll fire those in the description. So I'll link something that you can, that anyone.
Funimation, Crunchyroll, Netflix. I believe Netflix has the two that I listed off in Demon Slayer and, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. So a lot of, and it's getting like traction everywhere on apps and stuff, so it's pretty accessible.
I mean, I'm sure it's going to be firing up on my TikTok page now that we've talked about it. So
absolutely. I hope you like seeing a lot of cosplayers and stuff like that. So
I know I'm gonna have all streamers.
Yeah, right.
And then my last question to you, Justin, I always contend, well, this whole podcast, I'm always curious about people's mindsets towards things. I'm always curious about their journeys and why they think about different things. And through everything that we've talked about, there's always underlying themes. And we see that. And like I mentioned, your passion. And then, of course, we talked about your travel at the beginning of this and all of you coming out of your shell and the high school time and literally so much. All of this is what forms you. And that's why I love this podcast. I love having people on and talking to different people who come from a plethora of backgrounds and do incredibly different things. Some struggling, some killing it, some somewhere in the middle, anywhere. But here nor there, one of the main things that I always contend is that people who are grateful tend to be the happiest. I think that one of the vehicles for happiness, for true joy, is to be grateful. And so my question to you, not to put you on the spot, but to entirely put you on the spot, is what role does gratitude play in your life, Justin Harold?
Man, gratitude's hard to define into one thing. It could be for your family. It can be for your education, your standing in life and all that. Man, gratitude. For me, it's experience. I put a lot of stock into the experiences that I've had. You know, like you said, people can be struggling. People can be at the best of times when you talk to them, at the lowest of times when you talk to them. But I think those times come, you know, to everyone at some point or another. They happen, you know, you never have the best day, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have the worst of days. And being able to take those days and take the struggles and take, you know, I listed off a couple of things. And, you know, if I was to say that those are just those are the only things that happened to me, I'd be lying. Those aren't the only things that have happened to me that have put me down in the dumps and have really, you know, had their effect on me. But those are in the moment things that, you know, I can think back to many different experiences. You know, I mentioned that I was committed to Dayton. I committed to Dayton on National Signing Day. And a day later, I get a call from the admissions office telling me that they can't accept me because I have a D in Spanish. And that was something at the time, you know, I had lost friends before that. I think I'm getting back on track with going to commit to a D1 school to play football in Dayton. The day after I commit, I have to decommit. I don't tell people the real reason because I'm highly embarrassed that, hey, I don't get to go play Division I football at Dayton because I have a D in Spanish.
Yeah.
That's something now that like I can voice that and I'm 100% fine with, because although in the moment it was tough to deal with and it wasn't something I wanted people to know about, it's not something that's going to come back now and bite me. And, you know, there's not a lot of things in my life. To be honest, was I always the greatest of a person? No, I've gone and I've reflected on my life. And, you know, when I was a kid, I wasn't the best kid ever. You know, I conformed to a lot of just like peer pressure and doing things that I look back on it and I regretted it in that moment. And I try to rectify it. I try to, you know, make sure that if I ever did anything wrong, that I went back and that I made people know that, hey, what I've done in the past is not like who I am now. It's not the person I've grown into and continued to be. I'm a different person. I apologize for those moments, for, you know, whatever it may have been, you know, with my parents, with people like coaches, with people in, you know, passing, you know, classmates, whatever. There are just occasions where you're not your best person, and things happen and you feel down about it. And that's the thing about what I'm trying to get at with experience and gratitude. It's just like, you'll have bad days and you'll have things that you regret doing, mistakes, whatever it may be. There's not one thing that's going to ever really, you know, unless you're that kind of person, you're some malicious person who, you know, you do bad things on a regular basis and you're, you know, taking joy in them. If you do something and you regret it, then deep down, that means you have a conscience and that you're not, you know, you're not that kind of person that, you know, you're worried people might put you off as. And so for me, that Dayton experience was huge. It was an experience that, you know, super embarrassing, having to talk to my parents about that, having to decommit, having people ask me why I decommitted, lying to them. It was one of those moments in my life where I was just like, I hate everything I've had to do in the past 24, 48 hours, you know, a whole week, you know, talking to people, lying to, you know, coaches and to players on teams that, you know, communicated to me. It's just like, hey, like at that moment I couldn't do it. But now I take a lot of things in strides, and you know, I try to reflect in a lot of moments. If I'm heated about something, you know, and I might have said something that I shouldn't have because for whatever reason I was, I don't know, upset for some reason, and I said something that I shouldn't have, I try to go back and make sure that I, you know, I apologize for that. It was in the heat of the moment. And, you know, I try to make sure that I just experience things and I don't let them take over, you know, what I'm doing now in my life, and let them kind of, you know, hold me back from moving forward. So I think experience is, you know, the one thing that I have an immense gratitude for.
No, yeah, it's beautiful. And you have a great perspective on how to really live a life that is oriented towards gratitude by appreciating the moment, and then be also growing from past times that are difficult, for a non-fruity word. Yeah, for times that are difficult, because difficult times allow us to grow, and difficult times allow us to reflect on them like you have done and put them into our new lives in different ways. And that's how we become better in any way, like whether it's in a sport, whether it's in streaming, whether it's recording a podcast, whether it's just being a better human being for the well-being of those around us and those within the world that we share. So that is profound, and I give you credit. So way to be.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Justin Harold, everybody. Justin, as you hear, is a great man. He's got a lot going on. Congratulations to you with your impending graduation from the Ohio State University. And, you know, I'm excited to see you. I'm excited to see you when you're on the West Coast doing your thing. And I'm excited to read your names and to pop in on those streams that are, you say you have under 100 subscribers now. And I'm excited to see it when it's over 100K subscribers. And when your Cleveland Pulse YouTube channel is booming, you're doing a lot of great things, and you have your hands in a lot of different baskets that are all great, and you're influencing the world and sharing your thoughts and you're being yourself. So it's a pleasure to have you on, Justin. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, John. Thank you for letting me have this open format and for talking to me. You know, I feel, you know, really good, obviously, about talking about some of these things. And it's just because you're very open, and it's some, you know, it's when you have that person to talk to that's understanding and just, you know, I rambled probably a very long time. I'll be interested to see what the final timestamp on this will be. But, you know, just being able to open up and really talk has been something that, you know, I took great pleasure in doing this with you. And I know that you do it a lot with a lot of different people. So it's a great thing you've got going on here. And I appreciate just being another one. So hopefully maybe I get to do it again in the future.
I would love that. Yeah. It's episode 20. So Justin Harold is episode 20 of Chats with Clark. Thanks for tuning in. This has been another Chats with Clark. If you haven't hit the subscribe button, you're wasting your time. Just hit the thing already. Hit the subscribe button. Catch all of the latest Chats with Clark. Like I said, this is episode 20. I am your host, Joe Clark. Thanks for tuning in.